Hello, and thank you once again for tuning into the Reptile Living Room. Today is an emergency broadcast show from us because, once again, our hobby is under attack from who else but one of the major organizations or lobbyists called Defenders of Wildlife, of all people. They're actually not defending the wildlife. They want to take away our rights to own amphibians in regards to listing all live amphibians in the trade as injurious unless free of the chytrid fungus, basically. And so today we get on the phone with Andrew Wyatt, and in a little bit here we're going to be talking to Brian Barchick as well. Now, Andrew Wyatt, for those unfamiliar with him, is from the U.S. ARC, or United States Amphibian and Reptile Keepers Association. They are the spearhead of the drive to stop the python bans as well as this new amphibian ban. And Andrew tells us how we can get involved, how you, our listeners, can get involved with this. So please, listen carefully, get involved. Folks, like Mark Romanski said, today it's pythons, tomorrow it's poodles. We are dead serious about this. Please, please, please get involved. Once again, this is an emergency broadcast from the Reptile Apartment Living Room. Look forward to hearing your feedback on the show. And without further ado, here's Andrew Wyatt. Thank you. Now, so like we were talking about, Andrew, we just got this alert deadline about the public comment for the amphibian listing. And you're with U.S. ARC. You're the basically owner of U.S. ARC, if you will.
I'm not the owner of U.S. ARC. I am the founder, I am an employee.
Okay.
At this point, and I am the president and CEO of U.S. ARC, and I serve at the pleasure of our board of directors.
Oh, okay. Very good, sir. I appreciate that. Now, from what I'm reading in this alert, basically, they want to ban amphibians due to the chytrid fungus. Is my understanding?
Yeah, the chytrid fungus, that's correct.
Right. So now, how would our readers that aren't already signed up with U.S. ARC, how would they go about stopping this, and how did this come about that this could even happen?
Well, I mean, it came about because a large NGO, a powerful special interest group called the Defenders of Wildlife, filed a petition mm-hmm. with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to add all amphibians to what's called the injurious wildlife list of the Lacey Act.
Right.
Which would then, if that were to happen, what happens with the injurious wildlife list is anything listed on there, it would become a felony to bring it into the country, and it would be a felony to move it across state lines.
Wow.
Let's put it this way as well. You know, people are like, okay, but I'll be able to still work with them within my state.
Right.
Well, maybe, maybe not, because there isn't anything on the injurious wildlife list of the Lacey Act that hasn't also been banned at the state level by all the states. The states are basically would follow suit quickly to ban possession of those animals within the state, because they don't allow American citizens to possess what's termed injurious wildlife. And, you know, there's nothing that's on the injurious wildlife list that is allowed by state governments to be possessed. So the federal government doesn't have the power to ban possession. The state government does. Once the feds put it on the injurious wildlife list, it won't be long before the state governments follow suit and ban the possession as well.
Oh my gosh. So not only you can't transport it, you can't even own it in your own state. Now, this is almost, it seems almost to piggyback on the recent python ban that's been being thrown around.
Well, I think that a lot of the precedent set by the constrictor listing, mm-hmm. The python ban, as you say, but that's the same type of thing where they're looking to add nine pythons, anacondas, and boa constrictor to the injurious wildlife list.
Right.
Okay. And so that would make it transferring it across state lines or bringing it into the country a felony. Right. And the states would probably soon follow suit by passing state legislation that would ban the ownership.
Right.
But it's, I think, this is the very early stages
right.
of the amphibian listing. Right now it's what's called a notice of inquiry where they're, quote, just collecting information to see whether they want to move forward or not.
Okay.
And this happened with the constrictors back in 2008.
Right.
Okay, so it's taken a couple of years to come around to fruition and the rulemaking, et cetera, but here we are. Mm-hmm. So the thing that people need to do is they need to make public comment.
Okay.
You know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, when they publish a notice of inquiry like this in the Federal Register, then they open up a public comment period. And it's been going on for some time, just a lot of people haven't been paying a lot of attention to it. There's been other things going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, the herp industry has faced challenges on a number of levels over the past couple of years. And so the amphibian listing isn't the only thing going on out there, but it is very important. It is in the very early stages, and it's important that people make public comment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to do that is through the government portal. It's fairly easy to find the U.S. ARC bulletin that's out there explaining step-by-step how to make a public comment and giving you the link to the government portal. You can't just send them an email. It's an official U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service internet portal that you have to go to,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to make your submission in a certain way and provide certain information. And we make that real easy for you and spell it out, you know, step-by-step how to do it.
Right.
You can find it pretty easily on Facebook. You can, if you go to U.S. ARC on Facebook, it's posted up there. Or chances are, if you're on Facebook, one of your friends is passing it around.
Right.
And so you'll see it. It's all over Facebook.
Okay.
It's also all over the forums. I mean, if you go to Bush League Breeders Club, if you go to Kingsnake, if you go to, you know, Red-Tailed Boas, if you go to Fauna, if you go to, any number of about probably 18 different forums mm-hmm. around out there, you're going to find it.
Okay.
You can also go to usarc.org.
Right.
And go to the Reptile Nation page. And it's kind of set up like a forum, but it's more like a blog.
Okay.
You know, and you go to Reptile Nation News, and it'll be right up at the top of the list. And that's what I meant by a blog. It's kind of goes in chronological order. Everything we've ever put out is on that Reptile Nation News, kind of in a blog format, and mm-hmm. it goes chronologically. And the newest one is going to be the amphibian listing.
Okay.
So any one of those. It's not hard to find. You get on the internet, it's not hard to find, and you just follow the instructions. There's a sample letter, there's detailed instructions on how to make the comment, there's links to the government portal, so we make it about as easy as it can possibly be, and it only takes about 5 minutes to do it.
Right, right.
We need to urge as many people as possible to do it.
Yeah, definitely, and, you know, just for our listeners, once again, the website was usarc.org. It's usarc.org. And like Andrew said, it's very easy to find. You can also sign up to join the USARC all over the web pages and various websites there. And you can get these alerts delivered directly to your email, which is how I got this one. And you can be counted among the number of reptile keepers in the world that would actually like to keep our hobby going. Now,
absolutely.
Now, what's going on with the Python ban as far as that's concerned? Has that been stopped yet? Are we still working on that?
It's fairly complicated.
Right.
I mean, it's not, if you're intimately familiar with it, it's not really all that complicated. But
right.
it can be confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two different elements to it.
Okay.
There's a legislative side to it, mm-hmm. which means a federal bill.
Right.
There was a House bill, H.R. 2811,
right.
and there was a Senate bill, S-373.
Mm-hmm.
They would have originally banned all 47 species of pythons, mm-hmm. okay? But they ended up, we were able to get them modified and changed, and they actually don't match up anymore.
Okay.
One wants to add the Burmese python and the Northern African python,
mm-hmm.
the House bill, and then the Senate bill wants to add the Nile constrictors from the USGS report. And so they don't match up.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to be reconciled. There's been a push here at the end of the year to get the Senate bill tagged on to a large omnibus natural resources and land bill. There's about a dozen bills from the committee that our bill was in that were being forwarded to this omnibus bill. So we had a campaign going on the last couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
To block that. And
right.
But we won't know for sure until the end of the lame duck session. But
okay.
all of the federal bills that started in the 111th Congress, H.R. 669, which would have banned most non-native animals,
right.
H.R. 2811, the House counterpart to our Senate python ban, those are all still alive,
okay?
We might have done a good job of derailing them and stopping the momentum and stuff, but they're still alive. So that's the legislative side
wow.
of things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a regulatory side as well. So you have the legislative side with the bills, and then you've got the regulatory side with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And a rulemaking. That's what the amphibian listing is about. That's the first step in a rulemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at with the constrictor ban, the python ban,
okay.
Where they're wanting to to do a rulemaking that will add all 9 constrictors detailed in the USGS constrictor report to the injurious wildlife list of the Lacey Act.
Okay.
Okay? They had public comment early last summer,
right?
We asked for it to be extended. They gave us an extension. During the extension period of time, we filed a formal challenge because of the USGS report, because we don't think that USGS followed their own guidelines for standards and quality of information under what you call the Administrative Procedures Act.
Okay.
And the Information Quality Act. So we were able to file a challenge, a 16-point challenge, basically outlining all the problems they had with the constrictor report.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically rejected that out of hand, and we filed an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is we've been able to build this procedural public record of the problems that they have and are ignoring with their science that supports their rulemaking.
I see.
Also, during that period of time, we were able to get scientists from all around the world to weigh in on
right.
it.
Right.
And there was a number of cold weather python studies that came in that all contradicted the premise in the constrictor report
the
that
reports,
these animals
yeah.
were going to live all over the southern third of the United States.
Right. Right. I do remember.
So
that.
They made a mistake by allowing us more time, and we've been able to build this procedural record that we've been stacking the evidence up,
mm-hmm.
and now we've set it up to file a federal lawsuit,
okay.
and it looks like there will be some movement on it probably in February.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're going to do, we're not exactly sure right now.
Okay.
You know whether they're going to back off of it, whether they're going to make the rule as originally written, whether they're going to try and pass an alternative version of it, whether they're going to, we just don't know exactly what they're going to do right
okay.
now. And, but we feel like their best opportunity to have gotten it through was
mm-hmm.
last summer, and they
okay.
didn't do it.
Okay.
We're going to have the opportunity now with a new Republican Congress to put a lot more outside pressure on it. There's going to be a lot more government oversight as far as because this is not something new to the Department of Interior, having problems with your science and basically making policy decisions based on staff preference.
Oh, wow.
instead of hard science. We saw it at with the oil spill. You know, while the Obama administration was making a sweetheart deal with BP to be their flagship oil company, and they were going to give them expedite their permits, not do due diligence on all that kind of stuff. But then the fly in the ointment was that they gave them all this stuff, but then BP spilled oil all over the Gulf.
Right.
And so that's kind of the same thing that they've done in our case on a much smaller scale, is they've just bypassed all of the standards and procedures that they're supposed to go through to make a policy decision, and just based it all on staff preference. Mm. And that's going to be, if we win this thing, that's going to be why, because we've been able to bring attention to that fact and overturn their case. So it looks like we'll be knowing a lot more come February.
Okay.
And it's really important for people to realize on both of these things, this is far more than constrictor snakes and far more than amphibians.
Right.
Because what's happening here is the big special interest groups like the Defenders of Wildlife and the Nature Conservancy, who are behind this, by the way.
Right.
It's not PETA. You know, everybody thinks PETA is behind everything, or the Humane Society is behind everything.
Yeah, PETA and the Humane Society have basically become like the Masonic conspiracy theory for reptiles, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but they're more like bandwagon riders.
Okay.
You know, but the ones who've gotten the ball moving on this stuff are the Defenders of Wildlife and the Nature Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is they want to end the practice of keeping animals that are non-native to the United States.
Huh.
And that doesn't mean that's not limited to pets or exotic pets or whatever, but that goes to animal agriculture, it goes to aquaculture, it goes to zoos. But it does cover dogs, cats, everything, anything non-native to the United States.
Right.
They do not want here. And these rulemakings could set precedent in that direction. Never before has the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service attempted to list so many animals at one time with no sound scientific underpinnings. That is a huge precedent.
Wow.
Number two, never have they tried to list anything that is so widely held already by the American public. Once they break down those two doors, it's on, and it could change the way the United States treats animals and animal ownership forever.
Yeah, definitely, because now, you know, like you said, it affects dogs, cats. I mean, anything that's non-native, they can just, you know, randomly decide now.
They can make an arbitrary and capricious decision,
right,
that anything that is non-native to the United States could potentially, under some scenario, be considered injurious wildlife, and they don't have to have the science to prove it because they've already set the precedent that you don't. So that's why it's so important that even if you don't keep amphibians, even if you don't keep constrictor snakes, that you may comment on these things and you get involved, because there's so much more at stake here.
Right.
And it's something that I've been trying to pitch to animal agriculture, to the pet industry, to, you know, the AZA, to all these people that have a lot at stake here and don't even really realize it yet.
Right.
You know, they're thinking about this stuff, oh, it's the frog thing, it's the snake thing, you know. Well,
right.
No, it's about a lot more than that. And if you don't wake up and smell the coffee, you know, by the time this thing is through,
it's going to be
Defenders of Wildlife and the Nature Conservancy are going to be knocking on your door.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. Well, Andrew, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with our listeners and let us know how we can get involved. Once again, you're the president and CEO for USARC.org, which is the United States Amphibian and Reptile Keepers Association. We do recommend our listeners get over to that website, join in. It doesn't cost you a thing unless you want to donate to USARC to keep keep our guys going up there in Washington, D.C. and getting these bands disbanded and railroaded and making it difficult for them to go through it in any case. And if you do have a website, there's some banner links on there. There's a lot of different ways you can get involved with the USARC. So, Andrew, what we're going to do is get this radio show out to our listeners, see if we can't get some more people getting on to click the link for to go to the government portal. And like you said, it doesn't get any easier than, you know, clicking the link and following the instructions, really.
You know, that's it.
I mean, you've got it right there, sample letter, copied into a Word file or PDF. You know, if you own a business, put it on your letterhead, send it out. And, you know, it doesn't get any easier than this, folks. But if we don't do something now, like Andrew said, you know, it's going to be, next thing you know, it's going to be dogs, cats, and everything else. And we're going to lose our zoos and everything. Man, this is just amazing. So, Andrew, what's next on the list for the USARC? Are you guys going to be, what shows are you going to be at next so people can...
The next show we're going to be at, you said you're in California?
Yes, sir, I'm in California. Uh-huh.
We're in California,
San Diego, actually.
San Diego, okay. Uh-huh. Well, we're going to be close by on the, I believe it's the 7th and 8th of January. We are going to be up just outside of L.A., and Pomona.
Oh,
at the Reptile Super Show. Yeah.
Okay.
At the Reptile Super Show in Pomona. We will be having a board meeting from 3 to 6 on Friday night, which an hour of it will be open to the general public.
Okay.
And a big after party and fundraising auction on Saturday night in the hotel.
Okay.
And it's always a lot of fun. Stop by and party with USARC and the Reptile Nation.
Fantastic. Sounds good, Andrew. I really appreciate you, and look forward to seeing you at the Pomona Show. Actually, I'll be at both those events, the open meeting there and the reptile auction. And
very good.
Now, there is some contact information also on the USARC site that, in case you have any questions, comments, you know, anything like that.
You can always email me at president@usarc.org.
Okay. There you go. And they do have, you guys do have some merchandise, and all this stuff, any donations or anything like that, all of it goes directly to help, you know, get this stuff off the books and help us keep our amphibians and pets that we want to keep as pets.
So, right, that's correct. 100% of the money that we take in goes into fighting the fight. There's nothing else.
Yep, exactly. Well, once again, Andrew, really appreciate you taking the time this morning to speak with us. I'm going to get this radio show up on our website, and we'll see what we can do about this and see how many people we can get, how many more people we can get involved with this.
Right on. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk.
All right. So there you have it, folks. That was Andrew Wyatt from the USARC.org. Once again, get involved. Make a change. Do not let these people take away your rights to own amphibians, reptiles, or any other animal species for that matter. Because, like Mark Romanski said, today it's pythons, tomorrow it's poodles. Can't repeat that enough. Get involved, usarc.org, usarc.org. Make a donation. Throw the notice of inquiry on your letterhead. You know, get your vote heard. Make a difference. Make a change. Do something. Besides sit there and, you know, whine and complain about, you know, oh, well, you know, it's not involving me. Yeah, it is. Do something now. Do something for the trade that you enjoy. And with that, we're going to sign off. Later on today, I'm hoping to talk with Brian Barchick. I won't make any guarantees, but it looks like we are going to talk to him and get his feedback and input on this new amphibian listing as well. So listen up throughout the day. We'll probably be back with another interview at the Reptile Living Room. Thank you very much for tuning in.